for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2010 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday afternoon, November the 27th, 2010. Carla Batard is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on religious antichrist spirits. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
Just as that the religious spirits wouldn't believe that Jesus was who he was because of the true work of God he was doing, there will be those who will be deceived by the great signs and wonders. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them who dwell on it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. See, this beast right here had a deadly wound, and it healed right before everybody's eyes. Now that's a great sign and wonder. That would be one that would get your attention and cause you to be thinking about this beast, this man, whoever. In 13 it says, and he does great wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men and deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of the miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast that had the wound by a sword and did live. And he hath power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now, when those that are not saved are challenged with the Antichrist, spirit of Antichrist, and these great wonders and signs, this used to make me nervous, because I would say, Lord, if I saw something like that, How will I know, you know, not to be deceived by things like that? But the way we will know is to know Jesus, first of all, to know Him, truly know Him, and know God. You can read the Old Testament and know the nature of God, and you will not be deceived. He will give you that spirit of discernment, not to be deceived. But there will be many people who are not grounded in the Word, who go to these meetings where these signs and wonders are taking place, will fall for it because they don't know. As God said, my people, not the unsaved, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So we have to really be careful when these signs and wonders start happening. It said that He had power to give life unto the image of the beast. And I'm thinking, you know, I was talking to my kids one day, and I said, what if there was a statue, let's say, of Jesus. There's a cemetery in my hometown where I grew up of Jesus sitting on this big boulder. You know, it's a statue. But what if that statue looked over and started talking to you, and he got off the boulder and started walking around? Now, that would be a miracle, you would think. You could be deceived by things like that, because the Antichrist will also have power to do those kinds of signs and wonders. So we need to really be asking God, about some of these things so that we're not deceived. We need to pray for discernment every day. Matthew 26:3. Okay. Then assembled together the chief priests. Here they are again. All the religious people are gathering around. Assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, I think. and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. So see, now they're coming together. Even though some that may not get together all the time, now all these religious spirits are grouping together to find out how they can secretly kill Jesus and take him. So there is a spirit of murder in the Antichrist spirit. Look at John 5:18. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. They were ready to kill him. Look at John 6:41. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph? Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he say, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. And then gave them a little speech. But they are outraged that Jesus would claim that he was the Son of God and make himself equal with God. And in another place it said that Jesus didn't think it robbery to make himself equal with God. He was the Son of God. He was actually, as Tom said, or someone said, God incarnate. He was the flesh, God in the flesh, and man at the same time. It was that's a stumbling block for a lot of people. But as the green onion, if it says so, I believe it. Look at John 10:33. You know, it is faith. A lot of you must have faith to believe these things. Because sometimes it's too hard to believe. But if you have faith, you can believe what he tells us in his word. 10:33. The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. See, now they're ready to stone him. They're calling him a blasphemer. They didn't recognize who he really was. They even, after Lazarus was raised from the dead, they plotted to kill Lazarus because many Jews believed on Jesus after they saw Lazarus raised from the dead. So not only did they want to murder Jesus, they wanted to murder anybody that would draw them away from their religious traditions. They were ready to kill them. A religious spirit is a very dangerous spirit. Look at Luke 7:30. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized by him. So here's where the lawyers came in, the lawyers, who were experts in the laws given to Moses by God. Experts in the laws. See, religious spirits will be experts in the law, and they want to hold you to those laws. They had no understanding. They misjudged. The religious spirit will misjudge. I marked out that scripture. I wonder, you know, when the woman brought the oil in the alabaster box and anointed Jesus, that was a divine thing that she did. And Jesus knew it, because Jesus knew what was coming. And even though he had told them, they still didn't get it. And so this woman comes and she anoints, she pours out that alabaster oil. And the religious spirit said, she could have sold that valuable oil and given that money to the poor. That's what the religious spirit said. They have no understanding. They misjudged that woman. Another one said, if Jesus was really a prophet, he would know what kind of woman she was. That's the religious spirit. They miss it. They just miss it. They're blinded. The religious spirit, the Antichrist spirit, will blind you from the things of God. Matthew 26:7, I think that might be where that is. But let's look at John 12:29. John 12:29. This is another place where it shows that they lacked understanding. John 12:29. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it. Okay, let's go up to 28. In verse 28, Jesus says, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified and will glorify again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spoke to him. See? The voice of God spoke. And they said, y'all hear that thunder? It thundered. They didn't even hear the voice of God. The Antichrist spirit will not let you hear the voice of God. So you got to figure out what you think it is. Y'all hear that thunder? Was that thunder? I think I heard it thunder. Because they miss it. They miss God all the way around. Matthew 26:14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests. Now, we already know who the chief priests are. And said unto them, what will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they bargained with him for 30 pieces of silver, and from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. A religious spirit will betray you. They betrayed Jesus. They work with evil. They work with evil. The religious spirits will work with evil to betray. In Luke 22:48, Jesus said to Judas, Judas, betray thou the Son of Man with a kiss? He plotted. He said, okay, now, when we go, the one that I kiss, he's the one. He's the one. He'll point you out and work with evil to betray. Matthew 26:56. Okay, this is right after they took him. In verse 55, in that same hour, said Jesus to the multitude, are ye come out as against a thief with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scripture of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples fled, forsook him, and fled. See, when the heat gets turned up, they'll leave you. They'll forsake you. They'll run. They don't want to be, they'll desert you when things get tough. Matthew 26:57. And they that laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off in the high priest's court and went in and sat with the guards to see the end. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought fault witness against Jesus to put him to death. So now they're looking for liars. Even anybody that'll lie against you. That's a religious spirit will do that. Matthew 27:20. That the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. They will even work against what they know is right. A religious spirit will. Matthew 27:63. 62. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparations, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will arise again. Now they're calling him a deceiver. They call Jesus a deceiver. John 8:13. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest witness of thyself? Thy witness is not true. Here again they call him a liar. Mark 5:14-15. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city. This is a man with legion, that Jesus cast the legion out into the pigs, and they all ran down and drowned themselves. And the people in the city went, those that witnessed it went and told. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the demon and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. See, the religious spirits are more comfortable. They can be more comfortable with, they could understand the man with legion. He was crazy. That crazy guy that lives out in the tombs. But when they came and saw him clothed and in his right mind, they were afraid. They were threatened. They felt threatened by the power of God. Religious spirits will be threatened with what they don't understand. More comfortable with the man demon-possessed than with the healed man. Mark 9:33. You know, it's funny. It's like I was sharing something with my brother one time about dominion. It was when I learned that I had dominion. I liked that. We have dominion over the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, everything that creepeth upon the earth, and over the earth. And now that's a pretty big domain to have dominion over. The earth, we have dominion over the earth. And so I was visiting my daughter, and her neighbor had a dog that if a car drove up, it just barked. It was so annoying. And I was outside, and a lady that I knew drove up, and we were trying to talk. This dog just kept barking and barking and barking. And I said, "Shut up!" Well, the dog didn't shut up, just kept right on barking and barking because, see, I didn't want to exercise dominion in front of her. But I finally did. I finally pointed at the dog, and I said, "I take dominion over you. I command you to sit down and shut up." And the dog shut up and sat down. And that lady looked at me like she was afraid of me. And my brother said, "Well, she probably thought you were a witch." And I said, "But don't you find that interesting? If people understand the power of witchcraft, but they don't get the power of God. Why is that? Why would they be okay with thinking me of a witch, and yet I take dominion, God-given dominion over that dog, and she acted like I was a witch? She acted afraid." I'm thinking, something's wrong with this picture. But you know why that is? Because we're more familiar with the power of darkness. Because the power of God has not really come forth like it should. I mean, my goodness, we've had this for 2,000 years, over 2,000 years. You would think we'd be a little farther down the road by now. So I'm catching up. I read it, I believe it, so I do it. And hey, it works. That is the power of God. Not mine, but His. He said so. I believed it. I'm going to give this a shot. And that's how I've just about learned everything. I read it, I did it, it happened. That's the way it should be. In the kingdom. In the kingdom. Okay, so now look at Mark 9:33. This is a good one. And they came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, "What was it that you disputed among yourselves on the way?" But they held their peace, for on the way, the disciples, as they were walking from one place to another, they had disputed among themselves. I could just see Jesus walking a little bit ahead of them, or maybe a little bit behind them, and they're all talking, and they think he doesn't know what they're talking about. They disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. Boy, there's a religious spirit. And boy, is it alive and well in the body of Christ. And he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, "If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all." So they were busted. Jesus busted them. What were y'all talking about? I know what y'all were talking about. They were probably embarrassed. Who's going to be the greatest? So there's the competition. When I first started teaching in this little church in my hometown now, way out in the country, Roganville. Not Africa, but Roganville. And this lady had started coming to the church. She had a beautiful gift on the piano, so she played. And after I taught one day, she came up and she said, "You know what?" I said, "What?" She said, "We need to stop competing with each other." And I said, "Are we competing?" She said, "Yes." You know, I've learned there is a tattletale spirit. A tattletale spirit. See, I had no idea. She felt threatened by me or whatever. So she felt that she had to compete with me. Well, she was a teacher. She was supposed to have that position. Well, what can I say? If they had asked you to teach, you would be teaching. But that was just funny to me. I went home, I told my husband when we got home, I said, "I learned something today. There's a spirit of competition at work." I didn't know it. I'm not competing against anybody. But evidently she was. I don't, you know, so it's alive and well. Here's the competition. Who's going to be the greatest? So there's competition. And it's alive in the body of Christ. There was division. That's what competition does. It causes division. We're a family. And it's sad that we can't rejoice in another's accomplishments or are there when they are promoted. Why can we not be joyful for that person? I have a friend, and she is being delivered of a lot of religious spirits. And she is just getting so happy. I mean, she's out from under that yoke of bondage. All of those things that we read about the church, they'll put these burdens on you and all this work you to death. And she was getting free. And I told her, I said, "Now let me warn you of something now. We can rejoice that you're getting free. But I'm going to tell you right now that when you get free, people are not going to be happy for you. They will not share your joy. In fact, they're going to be mad at you. It's like, how dare you be so free? I'm burdened. How come you're not burdened?" I'm telling you, they people don't like freedom unless they have it themselves. I said, "You want to share your accomplishments? Call me. I will rejoice with you. But be careful who you try to share those things with, because they're not going to like it. Religious spirits don't like it." And they don't. And they didn't. And even though I told her, she's crushed. Okay. Mark 9:38. Did I just read that? "And John answered him, saying, 'Master, we saw one casting out demons in thy name, and he followed us not. And we forbade him because he followed us not.'" Now here we go. Here's that elitism. You know, this group, if you're not from this particular group, well, we don't acknowledge this group over here because they're not with us. You know? And Jesus said, "Forbid him not, for there is no man who shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is for us." So we should, that's a religious spirit. Later, Paul says, you know, he gets on to them for saying, "I am of Paul, I am of Apollos." There's one church, and yet we've, because of all of our differences, we've fragmented the body of Christ all over the place. And each has their own little doctrine, their own little sacred cow. And we may even have some of them from the religions that we've come from. So there was elitism. Mark 11:18. This is about jealousy. Mark 11:18. "And the scribes and the chief priests heard it," up in the scripture before that, "and he taught, saying unto them, 'It is not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves.'" That's after he drove the money changers out. And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. They recognized, the people were beginning to recognize the authority of Jesus, and the people didn't like it. So there was jealousy. In 11, they questioned his authority. Basically, they're saying, who do you think you are? And that's another one the religious spirit will say to you, who do you think you are? That you're going to go pray for this person and think that they're going to get healed. Jesus is the only one who does that. Well, they are of that sect, the Sadducees. Not that they don't believe there's not a resurrection, but there are some other things they don't believe. I went to pray for a man one time. This was the most shocked I've ever been at a religious spirit. A man was dying with cancer, and the Lord had me go pray for him. I mean, he was on hospice. But hey, Jesus raised the dead. It's never too late. I don't think it's ever too late. But I felt impressed. I felt like God was wanting me to go pray for this man. So I get to his house. Well, his mother came in the office and was telling me about him. And so I said, do you think he would let me come pray for him? And she said, oh, I'm sure he wouldn't mind at all. And I said, well, does he believe in the laying on of hands and the anointing of oil? And she said, honey, he's a Pentecostal preacher. Well, I thought that meant he believed in the fivefold ministry. You know, he speaks in tongues, you know, back then at that time. He's a Pentecostal preacher. Oh, well, he believes in it all then. You know, so I get there in my short hair. I did have on a skirt, thank goodness. But I did have on jewelry. And I did have on makeup. I didn't know their doctrine. I knew they wore long dresses, but beyond that, I didn't know anything else. So I go in. His wife meets me at the door in her Pentecostal attire, no makeup. And so I go in there, and that didn't faze me. I didn't think anything of it. So I go in, and I'm ready to pray for this man. And I said, you know, I don't think it was a coincidence that your mother came into my office. And what a small world. This man went to high school with my brother, and he lived 4 hours away from me. And I was going to that town that weekend for some other reason. I said, well, where does he live? That town. I went, oh, really? Well, I'd like to go pray for him, okay? So this man is on his deathbed. He's got a tube down his, I think he had a tracheotomy, an IV, all these things. And he said, we don't think it's a coincidence that you're here either. And I thought, we're in agreement. Little did I know. He believed that God sent me there to tell me that I needed to be baptized in the name of Jesus. And I went, what? He said, do you know? I mean, this man was angry. Do you know what name you were baptized in? And that was 30-some-odd years. I said, you know, I'm a little past baptism. I'm a little beyond baptism. But it was important to him because that was the religious spirit. Never mind being the prayer to be healed. You know, I guess he didn't want me to pray for him because I had short hair. I mean, I had really crucified all his cows. But anyway, I did pray for him, and he prayed for me. And I left because she couldn't leave him, and the little girl was ready to go to some kind of little meeting. So the mother asked me if I would drive her, and I said, of course. Drove her, and on the way back, I said, Laura, are you sure you want me to be here? I mean, but none of that mattered. None of that mattered. I did what God sent me there to do, and the rest was up to him. He died. But, you know, I just was appalled. You're on your deathbed and you want to know what name I was baptized in? What is this? God said, a religious spirit. Okay. Well, thank you for showing me that. But, you know, I never cease to be amazed when these things show up. Because it's totally not even about it's the tradition. That thing that makes the Word of God of no effect. all that tradition. Okay, for the sake of time, I'm just going to tell you what the rest of these are. We saw the jealousy because they were astonished at his doctrine. They began to recognize his authority. In 11:28, they questioned his authority by saying, you know, by whose authority do you do this? They question your authority. Pilate knew, it says in Mark 15:10, that the reason that the chief priest delivered him to, that they brought Jesus to Pilate, it says, for envy. For he knew that they brought Jesus to them to be killed for envy. See, that's a dangerous spirit, a religious spirit that wants to get rid of the man of God. Because of envy, they envied that people were beginning to listen to him and believe on him and follow him. They didn't like it. Luke 16:14, I am going to read that one. Luke 16:14. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, see, there's covetousness. The Pharisees heard all these things and they derided him. And he said unto them, ye are they who justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your heart. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. They derided him, and that means to smile or laugh with facial contortion. Right. You know, I've had those kind of facial expressions and facial contortions when I would say something about the power of God or something that offended their religious spirit. They're crowd pleasers, the religious spirits. It says they sought to lay hold, but they feared the people. So they didn't try to take Jesus right then. So they're crowd pleasers. They're going to do what the people want. And they're fearful. Religious spirits are fearful. In Mark 12:37, Jesus warns people of the religious folk. Luke 11:37. Read that. 11:37. And as he spoke, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to eat. And when the Pharisee saw, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. And the Lord said unto him, now do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of extortion and wickedness. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such things as you have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over justice and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye love the chief seats in the synagogues and salutations in the marketplace. Woe unto ye, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thou sayest thou reproachest us also. And he said, woe unto you, ye lawyers, for ye load men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe unto you, for ye build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Truly ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and ye build their sepulchres. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. Woe unto you, lawyers, 52, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered. There's another religious spirit. They want to keep you out. They don't want you going in. And those that want to go in, they'll hinder you because they don't want you to get to that true place that Jesus wants us all to get. They mocked him, saying, he saved others, himself he cannot save. I've heard that one. Well, I don't know how you can go to Lake Hamilton and help all those people. You can't do anything with those that are in your house. Yeah, I've heard that one before. Jesus has heard that one too. They reject the counsel of God. They reject the Word. They reject Jesus. Luke 9:54, they operate in the wrong spirit. Remember when they said to Jesus, "You want us to call down fire from heaven like Elijah did? And burn them up to consume them?" And Jesus said, "You don't even know what spirit you speak from." They operate in the wrong spirit. Luke 11:27-28, they worship the wrong thing. Oh, this is an excellent one. Let's look at that one. Luke 11:27-28. And it came to pass as he spoke these things, he's just teaching and stuff. A certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, "Bless the womb that bore thee and the breast which nursed thee." See, already we're entering into Mary worship. And Jesus said, "Yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." See, he rebuked them. No. Don't worship my mother who gave birth to me. Don't call her blessed. He said, yeah, she's blessed, but don't worship her. This is not about Mary, but blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. So the religious spirits will worship the wrong thing. In Luke 19:37, they resented Jesus being praised. That's an antichrist spirit. In John 8:51, they called him a bastard. John 8:48, they accused Jesus of having a demon because he said, "I have power to lay it down again and lay it down and take it again." And they said, "He hath a demon. He is mad." They will want true believers cast out of the synagogue. That'll happen. You know, the man that got healed, he was blind. Let me look at that. John chapter 8. I'm almost done. John 8. But I didn't put down what verse. Is it 9? Okay. John 9. Yeah. And Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from his birth, and the disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus said, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." See, sometimes we're afflicted so that the glory of God, the work of God, can be made manifest in him. "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed the man's eyes with clay and said, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." Okay, now then he gets healed. So now they're saying, "How is it your eyes were opened?" On the Sabbath. Was it on the Sabbath? In verse 10, "Therefore said they unto him, How were your eyes opened?" And he answered, "A man who is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight." Then they said unto him, "Where is he?" He said, "I know not." They brought to the Pharisees him that formerly was blind. And it was the Sabbath day, there it is, when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And again the Pharisees asked him how he had received his sight. And he said, "He put clay upon my eyes and I washed and do see." Therefore some of the Pharisees, "This man is not of God because he keeps not the Sabbath." Here we go again. Others said, "How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles?" And there was a division among them. So when you have the religious spirits there, you're going to have division. They said to the blind man, "What do you say of him, since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." But the Jews did not believe concerning him that had been blind and received his sight. Now they're even questioning if the man was even blind. So they call his parents. And they asked them, saying, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son, and he was born blind, but by what means he now sees, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him." See, now they're afraid because now they're going to be judged by these religious people. These words spoke his parents because they feared the Jews, For the Jews had agreed already, if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. And that's liable to happen. We've heard many people that were cast out of the Baptist church because they started speaking in tongues. And other things. Other reasons, you know. You start getting too on fire. Like Tom said last night, he was baptized in the Holy Ghost and they just kind of shoved him aside. They didn't want to acknowledge what had happened. And they'll put you out of the synagogue and say that they're doing God a favor. Those are religious spirits. So Jesus, in John 15, 24 and 25, Jesus said, they hated me without a cause. So religious spirits will also hate you without a cause. You love the Lord, you truly believe. Those religious spirits are not going to like you. So just be ready for that. Don't be offended by it. In John 8, Jesus said, he said something, and then the disciples came and said, Lord, don't you know that you offended them by what you said? Yeah. Sometimes truth will offend people. They're not going to like it. So we have looked at a long list of religious spirits, the characteristics of religious spirits. And so why don't we just in case, we will just find that religious spirit. If there's any that, like Lazarus, was bound with grave clothes, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, if there's any body, myself included, that are bound with any grave clothes of religious spirits from our past, from tradition, from our forefathers, I bind that religious spirit right now. I break its power and I command you to loose God's people in Jesus' name. Get out, you religious spirit. You religious spirit. The Antichrist spirit. I bind every spirit of Antichrist and I command it to go. I bind every spirit of tradition. Tradition from the religions of the forefathers that are standing in the way of you coming into the full truth and freedom that Jesus wants you to have. I bind you and break your power, and I command you to go now in Jesus' name. The lying spirit, the plotting spirit, the critical spirit, you go in Jesus' name. You go in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of pride, go in Jesus' name. All spirits of pride, go. Tradition, I break your power in the name of Jesus. Go. All tradition that makes the Word of God of no effect, you go in Jesus' name. All religious spirits of unbelief, go in the name of Jesus. All religious spirits of unbelief, all questioning the authority of God in the name of Jesus. Every Antichrist spirit that is questioning the authority of Jesus Christ or the truth of His Word, I bind you and command you to go. I command burdens, religious spirit burdens that have been placed on us by religious folk and doctrines in churches that we have come from. I break those yokes right now of heavy burdens and works being driven in Jesus' name. All self-righteous spirits, Pharisaical spirits, go. All spirits of the Sadducee and the Pharisees and the chief priests and the elders and the rulers of the synagogue, I bind all those spirits and command them to go in the name of Jesus. All spirits of murder, even character assassination, talking and betraying people in the name of Jesus, I come against the spirit of misunderstanding, having no understanding, your understanding being darkened. I command all the scales of religious spirits to come off. I remove the hood of deception and all unbelief and all deception and lies in the name of Jesus. I break lies off of religious spirit lies that we've been told that are keeping us from the true spirit of God. You go. Jealousy, I bind you and command you to go in Jesus' name. All spirits of jealousy and competition and division, in the name of Jesus, you go. All mockers, that spirit of mockery, I bind you and command you to go in Jesus' name. Idolatry, worshiping the wrong thing in Jesus' name, I command all spirits of idolatry to be broken in the name of Jesus. Being a false witness, I bind you in the name of Jesus. All critical spirits, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Just sitting around criticizing people, other people's ministry. Just because they didn't come from us doesn't mean they're against Jesus. I bind that spirit, that elitism, in Jesus' name. I bind you and command you to go. Spirits of betrayal. All spirits of betrayal. In the name of Jesus, you go. Being a crowd pleaser, a people pleaser, a man pleaser, I bind you and command you to go in the name of Jesus. Rejection. Rejection of the truth. Rejection of Jesus. Rejection of God. Rejection of the Word. I bind all those spirits that would reject, all those antichrist spirits that reject Jesus and reject the gift of God in others in Jesus' name. I bind you and break your power in the name of Jesus. All spirits of resentment, resentment, resentment of those who have, you don't even know their walk, you don't know how long they've been waiting or when people are promoted. I bind the spirit of resentment and jealousy and contention in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hatred. Hating the things of God. That's what the Antichrist spirit is. Hating the things of God. I bind that spirit of Antichrist. I command you to go in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just release right now the spirit of faith, of love, of understanding. Lord, open our eyes. Lord, I release discernment and perception. I release the spirit of truth. I bind and break the spirit of error in Jesus' name and command it to go. And Lord, we just thank you for your word. Thank you that we can learn about everything we need to know in this walk by reading your word. We thank you for that. And Lord, I just pray that every person that was bound with any religious spirits, any remnant spirits of religious spirits from doctrines that we came out of in the past. Lord, I just call them out of that captivity in the name of Jesus. I call them out of that darkness in Jesus' name. And Lord, we love you. We thank you. Lord, it hurts us to see the things that you had to suffer. But Lord, that is part of knowing you and the power of your resurrection is also the fellowship of your suffering. And we know, let us not be ignorant, that we will also have the fellowship of your suffering. And Lord, let us count it a privilege that we would even be associated with you that would cause people to reject us the way they rejected you. Lord, let us love them. Let us pray for them. Those that hate us and despitefully use us, Lord, let us do what you said and pray for them. Lord, I just release love, the love of God. Lord, give us a fresh anointing of your love and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.